let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America, Coast to Coast. Thank you for sharing some time with us on the program today. Alfred Iskander has been called a modern-day chronicler, not a passive observer, instead an active and intrepid purveyor of the fallacy, cruelty, and selfishness of man. A devoted writer and author, his new book, From That Exceptional Balcony, a passionately crafted work that depicts a story of good versus evil, life seen through a different perspective, personal observations and comments on things and people he has come across in his community and his travels. Alfred Iskander, author of From That Exceptional Balcony, joins us on This Week in America. Alfred, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
How are you doing, sir? Welcome.
Thank you. And so excited about having you on the program, and so many interesting topics that you talk about in your book. Both are available. We're talking on the program today about From That Exceptional Balcony, Part 1, Part 2 now available as well. It's interesting in your book, and this is something that's been in the news lately. You mentioned in your first book that socialism is communism with different looks. Could you describe how you think that's the case? Because this is something we're all going to be hearing a lot about over the course of the next year or two.
Well, whether it is socialism or communism, you will get nowhere with your dreams in life. We all ran away from socialist and communist regimes. We all ran away from there to the free world. Did you see the people of Hong Kong? They raised the American flag and they sang the United States national anthem. Beautiful. That is to say that America, no country is like America. America is America. Yes, indeed. And you look at those individuals who don't stand up for the American flag. What a shame. In my book, From That Exceptional Balcony, Part 2, I said on page 419, I wish I could call Hillary for you and ask her to tell you, shame on you, mister. But I have no way to get in touch with her.
Well, maybe she's
listening
to the program.
Sometimes you have to treat subjects with humor.
Well, you do. You've got some biting commentary in your book, and you've got humor there as well, From That Exceptional Balcony, Part 1, Part 2 available as well. Alfred Iskander is our guest on the program. If you're Googling that, that's spelled Iskander. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you'll be able to link on directly to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, get information on the book as well. You also talk about the stock market in there, and I'm curious whether or not you've ever been an investor in the stock market. Have you ever been involved with that?
Well, yes, I invested in the stock market. I started investing back then in 1987, the year of the crash. I lost what I lost in there, but I learned valuable lessons. No street on earth could possibly teach you what Wall Street teaches you. I am truly thankful. No problem. I mean, losses are inevitable, but there is something we learn, and I feel I learned a lot from that.
It's interesting. With us on the program is Alfred Iskander, the author of From That Exceptional Balcony. You deal with insurance, and this is something we all deal with. We attempt to deal with insurance of all kinds. What are your thoughts on insurance that you write about in the book From That Exceptional Balcony?
That's true. You see, it cannot be more torturing, humiliating, and unsettling to go to sleep at night knowing that if there was an emergency to take place in your household, you wouldn't be able to cover its unpredictable dimensions. The painful reality in that area is just too heavy to carry around.
Boy, it really is, and it weighs on so many people and so many parents who have, children and trying to take care of the medical attention and the drugs on top of that. One of the many topics that Alfred talks about. Immigration is something, and it's almost like your book is ripped from the headlines in some of the chapters, because you talk about things that we are talking about, and you give us a unique perspective on those. The president now trying to handle, resolve the immigration crisis, which has been going on for years. What are your thoughts on the immigration crisis and the way President Trump is attempting to handle that?
Well, in my opinion, President Trump is doing a great job. He is handling matters in good form. He is handling the immigration crisis in a very fair manner. Everyone can come to America, but they should come to a port of entry. The surest thing is that Mr. Trump is a great president. I am very impressed at the way he exposed China, for example. China has been sucking America's blood, cheating nonstop and stealing intellectual property right and left. Enough is enough with that. They want respect. They can have all the respect they want to have. I don't care about respect. Just stop stealing and pay compensations to all those great American companies. China clearly enters the WTO with concealed thoughts, and that has been the case ever since. You see, Chinese people and Chinese government are two different things. Chinese people are great people. They want to live, they want to put food on the table, and just like everybody else. But Chinese government is just like a virus that keeps mutating nonstop. And that has got to be dealt with in good form. I am thankful that Mr. Trump is exposing China, because to be stealing intellectual property is just not good, to the point that I wrote a song. I am a musician as well, you know. I wrote a song about China. If you like to hear it, I can. If you like to hear my words.
I would love to, yes.
Okay, I said, made in China is not for me. Made in China is not for me. China wants everyone out of business. Hey, hey, hey. That's not good. That is not okay. Made in China is not for me. Made in China is not for me. The forced transfer of technology, the bullying of neighboring countries, and all that intellectual property theft. Just take a look at the picture before your eyes and tell me, what is left? Made in China is not for me. Made in China is not for me. Of course, that is... My view is subject to change. If they change, if they play fair, I mean,
yes.
They want to take $550 billion from the American economy every year, and then they want to have a deal. I mean, in my opinion, there is no way to have a deal with someone that is just determined to suck the blood of the United States. I like what Mr. Trump is doing.
And I think that song is a hit, too. I think you need to get that recorded. I think there's a lot of sentiment
I recorded it, and I am a musician. I made it in music. I dressed those words in music, and I would love to send it to you if you like to play it.
I would love to do that, and we would do that. Our guest on This Week in America is Alfred Iskander. That's Iskander. Talking about his book, From That Exceptional Balcony, book one. Book two is now available. You'll find them at Barnes & Noble, at Amazon, at the usual places where books are sold. An interesting, unique take on a lot of stories and personalities in the news. And you write about diplomacy, and that's something else that is coming under a great deal of scrutiny. What's your idea of diplomacy?
Diplomacy is that you listen. And when you talk in good form. You need to show that you are participating in the conversation. You need to show those around you that each and every one is included. It takes a lot of good ingredients in one's character to be naturally able to make everyone around feel included. Now then, that is a great diplomat, and that is diplomacy. One comes to my thought, President George Bush Sr. I met him when I was working at the Willard Hotel. He came once to the Willard Hotel, to the Crystal Room, and we talked person to person. He made me feel like I am included. He made me feel like he knew me in person. He gave me a lasting smile. That's a great... That's a man that have great personality. I sure yes. felt that I was proud of him being my president. I'm talking about George Bush Sr. Yes. I am not talking about George W. Bush. Years later, I met George W. Bush when he was campaigning. He came to the Willard Hotel. He came to the same room. I tried to have an eye contact with him. He never gave me the chance. Every time it sounded like he was looking in my direction, he looked the other way. I just wanted to tell him to be careful about the Muslim Brotherhood. You see, we all know that Muslims are great people, but the Muslim Brotherhood is, in my opinion, is just like street thugs. All the crimes that you see happened since 2001. I mean, in my opinion, 9/11 wouldn't have happened had it not been for that defective ideology of the Muslim Brotherhood. They do not represent the Muslim people or the Muslim religion. They do not, but they want to force people to adhere to their brand of hatred, and they just want to commit crimes, and they want others to just keep committing crimes in the name of God. That cannot be.
The observations and comments from our guest on the program, Alfred Iskandor. He is the author of the book, From the Exceptional Balcony, actually a book series, parts one, part two. They're both available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. A lot of interesting observations like that. A lot of, there's wit and humor throughout the book as well. And we don't know that much about Alfred. He's been sort of designated as citizen of the world. We don't know that much about him and his thoughts. And religion is a topic that you delve into as well. What religion do you belong to, if any?
I belong to Christianity. But to me, all religions are good and great. Religion's supposed to hold us to higher standard. My advice to governments around the globe is to be moderate and fair. Do not promote one religion over another or one sect over another, and take a deeper look at what children are being taught in school. Understand that the education system is constantly in need for a facelift.
From the book, From That Exceptional Balcony, Part 1, our guest on the program. Time going by way too quickly. So many interesting things to talk about. Mention religion. Is there a difference between religion in Egypt and religion here in America?
Yes. In America, your religion is your religion. No problem. Society in America is mature. It is almost impolite to ask someone about the religion they adhere to. However, in Egypt, the story is very different when it comes to religion. A lot of hate is here and there, mainly because of the Muslim Brotherhood. I sure respect the president of Egypt, Al-Sisi. He's a great man, for he exposed the Brotherhood for who they are, a bunch of criminals, hardcore criminals with rotten souls. Religious terrorism, as we now know it, was born out of that very defective ideology of the Muslim Brotherhood. Like I told you, Muslims are great people, very, very good people. They have honor. And I am just very unhappy that the Muslim Brotherhood is trying to take advantage of the Muslim people in general.
A lot of substance to a lot of the number of topics that Alfred discusses in his book. Not all real heavy. You spent a lot of time talking about Beethoven. Talk about Beethoven and the love of Beethoven that you have.
Oh, Beethoven. I love Beethoven to the point that I consider him the god of music. I love in particular Symphony No. 9, Symphony No. 5, Egmont, Piano Concerto No. 5, The Emperor, Piano Concerto No. 3, Piano Sonata No. 14, The Moonlight Sonata, Piano Sonata No. 23, The Appassionata, The Violin Concerto, The Triple Concerto, plus many other great works. And when it comes to Symphony No. 9 and Symphony No. 5 in particular, I must tell you that I really like four orchestras here. I'm talking about the New York Philharmonic, the Berlin, the Vienna, and the Minnesota. They play Symphony No. 9 and Symphony No. 5 perfect. I mean, it couldn't be better than that. In the meantime, it is not only Beethoven. I love Johannes Brahms. He composed four symphonies, beautiful symphonies. John Sibelius, particularly his violin concerto, is unbelievable. Chopin, Tchaikovsky, Antonio Vivaldi, Antonin Dvořák, Mendelssohn, Schubert, Rimsky-Korsakov, and many others. There are great works out there, and the music is just, powerful performances are treasures. These are gems.
Yes.
When you are in pain, you listen to these performances and you feel different. It takes your it takes you to a different level, and that's great. I mean, I am thankful that we have all these great musicians that composed unbelievable music for us. And we take it from there. I also, by the way, love sports, but particularly wrestling. I'm talking about the WWE.
All right.
And the new and the New Japan Pro Wrestling. You see, wrestling, once you step in the ring, the other guy is the opposition. And in life, there is always opposition. That's why wrestling, to me, it's just like it shows you what happens in life, in our everyday, today life. And I really watch wrestling, and there is also a great sense of humor. If you are following,
yes,
there is a good level of laughter. If you are watching and you are aware of who is doing what, I mean, a good wrestler would show you that there is a way to get yourself out of any problem in life, but just watch and keep watching and pay attention to what you are watching. Or if you are listening to music, pay attention to what you are listening to.
And just enjoy the music, enjoy the wrestling. That's interesting. And the athleticism that you see there is unequaled by athletes in other sports. It's just amazing. You've got the baby face and the heel, and you've got some humor, and you've got a couple hours of of good entertainment there as well. A minute or so left in the program. What would you say is the most important thing, or maybe lessons, that readers can take away from your book, from that exceptional balcony? What do you want us to take away from in reading the book?
Well, I want to say that you should never trust someone that you don't know. Why do I say that? It is because when I was living, I had lived in many countries, but particularly when I was living in Italy, I was a pizza maker and pasta all'uovo, which is Italian pasta noodle. I used to make all of that on hand. And once two American young ladies came to eat pizza where I was working. I was very famous because everybody loved my pizza. And unfortunately, there was a waiter that had just started. With 10 days on the job, he spoke English very well, and he handled all those tourists. And at some point, he came to me and said, "Alfredo," he yelled from a distance. Then he got close and said, "I have two young ladies. They're Americans. What do you say? We take them, one for me. We take them out, one for me, one for you. What do you say, Mr. Great Pizza Maker?" I needed a woman. My English was almost zero. My Italian was very little at the time. And my social skills were not good enough for me to engineer an educated conversation with a young lady. So immediately, even before I saw the two ladies, I said yes. So to make the long story short, it is mentioned in its entirety in my book from that exceptional balcony. It turned out that Gino actually had bad intentions. He wanted to kill the young ladies, and he wanted to take their money, he wanted to take their jewelry, he wanted to take even their American passports and sell them. And when they read the story, they will say, "I am hoping that life would present me with an opportunity to meet those ladies. They are not young anymore, but I prevented a grisly crime from happening." And for that, I would like to tell particularly the ladies traveling abroad by themselves not to trust everyone that sounds or looks trustworthy,
yes,
because in many cases it is not true.
Powerful words.
Be careful.
Be careful out there. And you'll find that story in Alfred's book, From That Exceptional Balcony. Part one is available. Part two is now available. You will find them at the usual places, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. The book is written by Alfred Iskandor. He's our guest on the program tonight. That's spelled Iskandor. The book, again, available wherever books are sold. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you'll be able to link on directly to get information on Alfred's book, From That Exceptional Balcony, Part 1 and now Part 2. Alfred, it's been a real pleasure having you with us on the program. Thank you so much for being with us. Look forward to having you back on the show as well. Thank you for spending some time with us on the program.
The pleasure is mine, sir, and I would like to thank you again and to thank Reader's Magnet and the great people that are doing good work there, Florine Belford, Queen Larios, Abraham de Rosario, and everyone that is there, and I hope we will do this again.
I look forward to that. So much more that we can talk about, and you've got me interested in the one chapter in the book. I'll be looking that up. The book is From That Exceptional Balcony. Alfred Iskandor, our guest on the program. The book is available Amazon, at Barnes & Noble. Link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and you'll get all that information. We're back on today's program after these important messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.